We continue now with Masechet Beitza, Daf Yud Amud Aleph. We're going to begin with the Mishnah halfway down the Amud. The Mishnah on the previous Amud, Daf Tes Amud Aleph, spoke about the manner in which a person can move a ladder to the Shovach, to the Dovecote, in order to retrieve birds which he wants for Yavtif. This Mishnah, which we had actually seen cited earlier, is going to discuss the method in which and the circumstances in which a person can actually handle the birds directly. Beishama Yomrim Lo Yitol Ela Imkein Nanei Mibod Yom. Beishamai said a person is not permitted to go ahead and to take the birds directly from the Shovach, from the Dovecote and Yom Tif, unless he had previously handled those very birds the day before in the Erev Yom Tif. In other words, they are muksa, and the only way that they can be set aside and prepared for this purpose is if he literally handles them directly and then goes ahead to retrieve them for the purpose of shechting them on Yom Tif. Basila say it is not sufficient that a person should actually go ahead and directly handle them the day beforehand. Even if he just stands there before Yom Tif and says, Zev and Zani Notel, I intend to take this one and that one. In other words, all he does is verbally designate these specific birds. That is sufficient, and it's not necessary for him to do more. The Gemara now continues and discusses the parameters of this machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Amar B'chana Barami, machlokes bebricha rishona. B'chana Barami says the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is when it comes to the bricha rishona. That means the first brood of the season. It says Rashi, derech megadle yonin lohaniach bricha rishona shel konashana liostavos la'ima. It was customary that bird keepers would take the first brood of every season, a male and a female bird, and leave them as permanent company for the mother bird. In this case, Beis Shammai Savri Gazrinan Dilma Asilim Luchei, Beis Shammai is concerned that if the person merely designates the birds verbally on Erev Yom Tif, but doesn't actually handle them, so that on Yom Tif itself he may change his mind. He may decide after taking those birds, you know what, I don't really want these. After all, these are the Brecha Rishona, and typically these are left with the mother. Beis Hillel Savri Lo Gazrinan. Beis Hillel says no. There is no concern whatsoever. However, regarding birds from the second brood, everybody's in agreement. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel say that if I merely go ahead and verbally designate it from beforehand, that is sufficient. So Rav Chanan bar Ami says the homach lokes is only when it comes to the brecha rishona, once again, this first brood, because it's particularly with this group that we are concerned that a person may change his mind. And says Rashi, if he does so, this would end up being what's called a tiltul shelo l'tzarech. He would have climbed the ladder to go ahead and to retrieve several birds, just to go ahead and to change his mind and to return them. Beis Shammai is concerned about the unnecessary effort that's involved in this process, and therefore when it comes to the bricha rishona, if those are the birds he wants, he must actually be naneya demi bod yom, he has to actually move them beforehand to show that he's serious about this retrieval. Otherwise, they are not going to be set aside according to Beis Shammai. However, when it comes to the Brecha Shnia, when it comes to the second brood, so Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, everybody agrees that it is sufficient to merely designate them verbally. Before continuing with the Gemara, I just want to introduce a concept which the Gemara is going to mention in the next segment over here, which is called Breira. Breira is a concept which appears in numerous sugyas throughout Shas, and Breira basically means as follows, that in situations where a particular item requires some designation, so there's a question as to whether or not that designation can take place retroactively. Meaning, if there are circumstances which are not yet clear, events have not been clearly defined, and I want to say that when these particular events happen, or conditional upon a certain situation, so then that which I am looking to designate should be considered designated retroactively. That may seem not very clear the way I explained it, but hopefully be a little clear as we go on in the Gemara. So the Gemara says to Beis Hillel, Lamalei Lemeimar Zev Zani Notel. Beis Hillel said, according to Beis Hillel, why is it necessary for the person to actually verbally designate one bird as opposed to another? Lema Mikanani Notel Lemachar. Why is it not sufficient for him to simply say, I am going to come to this particular Shovach, and I will take some of these doves tomorrow? Why does he have to specifically name and mention which birds he is going to take? Maybe you'll tell me the reason why Beis Hillel requires the designation of specific doves beforehand is because Beis Hillel do not accept the concept of Breira. Meaning that they cannot allow you to designate things on Yom Tov and claim that these were considered designated retroactively. Rather, if you intend to choose something, you have to choose it beforehand. Rashi says over here, "Les lehu breira v'chishaki l'machir," and when you come back to take the birds tomorrow, "Gimelo hani azmin." Maybe it was not these birds that you took that were designated. "V'hulo his minas kulam." After all, he did not designate all of them. "Elikadei tzarcho." He only designated the ones that he needs. He didn't need all the birds for Yom Tov. So let's say he has 10 birds in there. He only needs 5. So maybe the reason why Beis Hillel says he has to actually designate the specific birds he's going to take is because les lehu breira. Because Beis Hillel does not allow for this concept of retroactive designation. Says the Gemara, but you can't really say that. Why not? V'tnan, we learn the following in a Mishnah in Olos. The Mishnah says, "Hameis b'bayis v'lo psachim harbe." If there is a corpse which was found in the house that has many doorways, kulam tmeim, all the doorways are going to be tamei. Niftach echem mehen, if one of the doors was opened, hu tamei v'kulam tahorin. So that doorway is going to be tamei, and all of them are going to be tahor. What is the background over here? So we know that the Torah tells us that a human corpse is going to transmit tumah not only if one has direct contact with the corpse, but it transmits what's called tumas ohel, that whenever it is in a home or under a roof, or in a building, so the tumah is going to be transmitted to all areas under that roof. That's called tumas ohel. So the mission over here is discussing a situation in which there is a mace that is found inside of a house which has numerous doorways. Now, in a situation where the doorways are open, so then any kalim, any vessels that are located any one of these doorways are automatically going to become tamei. If the doors are closed, and therefore there's a separation between the doorway and the location of the corpse, so then tumah is not going to be transmitted except for that one doorway in which the corpse would ultimately be removed. So the mission over here says that if a person, a mace is found with bayis v'lo psachim harbe, and there are many doorways, kulam tmeim, because if the doorways are all opened, so all of the utensils that are found inside of those doorways are going to be tamei. Niftach echem lehen, if only one of them was opened, and the assumption therefore we make is that the corpse is going to be carried out through that doorway, so hu tamei, only that doorway is going to be tamei v'kulan tahorin. The Mishnah now continues with a similar case. Let's say all the doors are closed, and the person who is ultimately going to remove the corpse decides that he's going to remove it through one of the doorways. Or perhaps through a window that is at least 4x4 tefachim. So then even before he actually opens the door, matzeles, literally it saves all the other doorways, meaning all the other doorways are not going to be considered tameh because it is assumed that the corpse is going to go through that opening. Bishamay Yomer, Bishamay says, "V'hu shachisha v'otia ad shelo yamos hameis." This is only true if he decides that he's going to use a specific doorway before the person dies. Beis Hillel says, "Af mishi yamos hameis." Beis Hillel says, "No, even if the decision is made after the fact." So what do we see from here? We see that Beis Hillel seems to accept the concept of breira. It's true that at the time that the person died, it was not yet clear, there had not been any designation as to which doorway was going to be used. However, Beis Hillel says the fact that the decision is made after the fact, that is okay. And at that point, we say, huvrar hadavar l'mafreya, it now becomes clear retroactively that the mace was supposed to go through this particular doorway, and it's going to be matzeles, it's going to save all the other doorways from becoming tamei. So says the Gemara, "Hi'itmar Allah." It was already taught in reference to this Mishnah, Amar Rabba, "L'tahir es hapsochim yikanal haba," that according to Beis Hillel, the decision to remove the corpse through a specific door, it is true that that is going to be effective in being able to remove the status of tumah from the other doorways, but that's only mikanal haba. That's only from this point on. V'chinami Rabbi Oshaya l'tahir es hapsochim yikanal haba, Rabbi Oshaya also taught that way. That only means from this point on, but not retroactively. In other words, Beis Hillel do not necessarily accept the concept of breira. Breira means that once I designate something today, so we say huver hadavar l'mafreya, that it becomes clear now retroactively that this was the designation all along. So in the case regarding the selection of doves for Yomtiv, Beis Hillel say it is necessary on Erev Yomtiv to say, I'm going to take this bird and that bird. And a person has to be very specific and precise. But just to say, I'm going to take from these, and then come the next day and choose certain birds, we can't say Huvra Hadavel Mafreya, because Beis Hillel do not accept the concept of Breira. Things could only be designated Mikana Labah from this point on, but not retroactively. The Gemara presents another answer from Rava. Rava says, Li'ola Mafreya. Rava says, really, you could say that according to Beis Hillel, the other doorways are going to become Tohar retroactively. In other words, that Beis Hillel actually does hold of the concept of Breira. The reason over here why, according to the Mishnah, it is necessary for Beis Hillel, it is necessary for the person to designate the specific birds that he's going to take, is Dilma Metaltel Veshavik, Metaltel Veshavik. We're concerned that if he does not decide before Yom Tov which ones he wants, and he just says, I'm going to take from these, then on Yom Tov he may pick up one, put it down, pick up another one, put it down. And Rashi explains over here he's going to try to select whatever suits his needs. And it may take him some time to decide. And it's going to come out that he ended up moving birds that were really not needed for him. They were not roy for him. In this case, they're muksa. They were not included in his original declaration. When he said that I'm going to take what I need, he had in mind literally what I need. And if now on Yaptif he's going to go ahead, he's going to pick one up, examine it, and put it down again. So it turns out that he was being metalta things that were not chazilei, that were not roy lo, in which case he was actually moving muksa. So the Gemara now challenges this explanation and says, wait a second, you already said, I mean, the Mishnah says that it is acceptable to point to specific birds and say, I'm going to take this one and that one, but why do we don't have the concern over here? Maybe he's going to pick it up the next day and look at it and say, oh, no, this is not what I had in mind, or this is not exactly what I thought it was. So we still have the concern, even by merely verbally designating the birds, we should still have the concern that he may go ahead and be metalto v'shavik, metalto v'shavik. So says the Gemara, Hani milim erev yomtiv. This is true. Beis Hillel's ruling that it is sufficient for him to say zev zeh ani notel. That's on erev yomtiv. Says Rashi Klomar, hecha the yodam erev yomtiv tahani hu da azmininon. Since he knows on erev yomtiv that these are the ones he's going to take, the su bein keshehin kachushin bein shen shmeinim, whether or not these are really the ones he would have wanted, lo shakla achrini. He's not going to take other ones. Sha'ar yodea shemuktsin heim shelo zimnam. He knows that they are muktsa because he was not mezamin them beforehand. Avaba yomtiv continues the Gemara on the top of the next Amud, Avaba yomtiv aser. However, yomtiv itself is going to be aser to go ahead and make these designations. The zimnin, the mishtachi shmeinim kachushim, because at times when he inspects certain doves on yomtiv, so the ones that appear to be fat will actually be lean. U'kachushim shmeinim. And the ones that appear lean will actually be fat. And it comes out that he will have moved something that was not roy for him, it was not chazi for him, in which case is going to be muktza. Inami says the Gemara, another possible explanation is, zimnin d'mishtachi kula kachushim. Sometimes, if he does not make the designation beforehand, it's going to come out that all of them are going to be found to be lean. V'shavik luhun, he's going to leave all of them. V'asi linui misimchas yomtif, and as a result, he was going to refrain from yomtif, from things that will bring him simchas yomtif altogether. And so therefore, according to Beis Hillel, it is acceptable for him to go ahead and say, mizeh v'zeh ani notel, I'm going to take from this one and that one, on erev yomtif, and in this case, we are not concerned that it will lead to a case of tiltul muksa on Yom Tov itself.